Let's take our Bibles again, turning to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. We come to the last paragraph of this chapter this morning, some of which is probably familiar to most of you, which of course carries its own danger. When things are familiar, we think we know them. And tend to perhaps unconsciously think there's not much that we can get out of looking at it again. Hopefully that will not be the case this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 27 through verse 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? And the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Our Father and our God, we pray that you would enable us to see your word this morning with new eyes, that we would gain encouragement from it, that indeed, even as you promised to strengthen your people, that you would strengthen us. Do so this day through your word, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. The question I want to ask you this morning, and the question I hope you'll ask yourself, is very simple. It's simply this. Where is your strength? We live in a world that prides itself on its accomplishments. We live in a world that prides itself in being able to do anything it sets its mind to. We live in a nation which possesses the greatest military might that the world has ever known. And in a world which has so much power stored up in its nuclear weapons that it could destroy itself a number of times over. There are many different places in which we might place our strength, many different locations in which we might seek our strength. But where is your strength? Here we are this morning sitting in a building constructed for a specific purpose. This building has been erected as a place where the people of God can come and gather and worship Him and sit under the teaching of His Word. And here we are. So we might expect that most of us, at least, would answer this question by saying, my strength is in the Lord. And that would be a good and right answer. It would also be a very easy answer, wouldn't it? The difficult part is living out the implications of that profession, day by day by day. Scripture is full of examples of men and women who trusted in the Lord to be their strength, and others who trusted in other things to be their strength. Sometimes, often in fact, we find examples of both of those in a single person. Because we are people who go both ways on that issue, depending on the circumstance, depending on the time. There are times when we will be firm to say, the Lord is my strength. And there will be other times when we will waver a little bit, when we will be tempted to place our strength in something else. Who can forget such men as Samson, who, when they relied on the Lord, when they were faithful, God strengthened them to perform their duties. Of course, Samson, when he stopped relying on the Lord, found that the Lord no longer strengthened him to fight against his enemies. When he gave up the secret of his strength and Delilah cut his hair, then the Lord took his strength away. Scripture's full of those kinds of examples. But of course, when we think of those examples, we ought to realize that when we see God giving strength to physical Israel to fight physical battles, what we are seeing is a picture of a spiritual reality. These physical victories that God gave to Israel are typical of a much greater truth. And that's the truth that is expressed in our passage this morning. That if we will trust in Him, God will be our strength. That strengthened by the Holy Spirit, we are able to fight the daily battles of faith that we have to endure as we journey through this world. That's God's word for us this morning. This is His promise for His people this morning. They that wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. We'll look at this passage and this promise under three headings. First, we're going to note what it means to have our strength renewed. What does it mean to gain new strength? Secondly, we're going to see the promise itself, this promise that God will certainly fulfill. And then lastly, we'll come to understand who exactly are the recipients of this promise, because the promise does not come to everyone. Who are those who are renewed in strength? But let's start at the beginning. What does it mean to have our strength renewed? What does it mean to gain new strength? When we read this passage and we see this promise concerning the renewal of strength, we realize immediately there is a contrasting implication. If one needs to gain new strength, the implication is they are weak. And certainly that's true of us. When left to ourselves, we are weak. And the text explicitly talks about that weakness. This is the contrast that the text brings out. The contrast is between human weakness and God's strength. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30, we read that even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. It's significant the text would choose the strongest among us to make this point. It mentions youths. Right? Youths are adolescents, teenagers. Right? They're the ones that are in the prime of their lives physically. You look out among us. Right? We see young people. We see teenagers. We see youths. And we're reminded of what life used to be like for those of us that are older now, right? They're strong, they're fit, they're flexible, they're resilient. Some of us can remember when that described us. When I was a youth, my friends and I would spend our summers on the basketball court from sunup to sundown. Didn't matter how hot it was, we spent all day long. And some of you remember what that was like. You know, we would fall down and we'd bounce right back up. It just wouldn't affect us. Now we fall down and we find ourselves thinking on the way down, I wonder what's going to break. Things change when you get older. Yeah. It was no different when Isaiah wrote, the youth of his day would be the strong ones. They were the ones that could go and go and go. And similarly, the young men are those who are slightly older than the youth, but still symbols of strength and vigor. Right? These are the ones that would serve in the military, for instance. These are the young men who could work and work and seemingly never tire. You put them to hard physical labor and they could just go on and on and on until the job is done. But then God says that these who are strongest among us, even they will grow weary. Even they will faint. Even their energy is not endless. The young men, the text says, shall utterly fall. They will stumble badly. They will grow weary. They will falter. And the message should be clear. Man at his strongest is yet weak. Even though man may be physically strong, he is yet weak as compared to God. We need to understand that this physical picture points to a spiritual reality of weakness, of stumbling, of weariness. Scripture itself points to examples of spiritual stumbling. Jeremiah 18:15 expresses this well. Jeremiah says, "For my people the Lord says through Jeremiah, "For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway." We are prone, this is the idea of the text, we are prone to stumble. We face enemies of the world. We face the enemy of Satan. We face the enemy of our own sinful flesh. And we often stumble and fall in the face of these enemies. Now, we don't fall completely, because God's hand is always there to catch his people. He won't allow that to happen. We don't fall completely so as to perish, but we do stumble. This is part and parcel of the Christian life. This is what it means to be a Christian. We are on the way to Christ-likeness, but we're not there yet. And along the way, we're going to give in to temptation. We're going to grow weak. We're going to get discouraged. We're going to stumble and fall. And yet God is going to strengthen. This is the promise of this passage. This was a temptation for Israel. You know, sometimes life seems so difficult for us as God's people, and we're tempted to think, God's not with me in this. And that's a real temptation that comes to the people of God. And that was the temptation for Israel, even as Isaiah brought this word from the Lord to his people. In verse 27, we see how that weakness was manifesting itself. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God?" They're saying God doesn't see us. He doesn't know what we're experiencing. He doesn't know what we're going through. He doesn't recognize our plight. He doesn't understand our need. He's not giving us the justice that we deserve. God had given Israel certain privileges as his people. And as his people, they had a right to expect those privileges. But now they're saying, God has forgotten us. He has forgotten what he's promised. He's not giving us this justice that is rightfully ours. And Israel felt that God was not with them. Certainly, there are times in the Christian life when we might feel the same way. We struggle with sin. We struggle with difficult trials that come into our lives. And we might be tempted to say, my way is hidden from the Lord. He doesn't see me. He's not paying attention to what's going on in my life. I can't imagine God allowing me to go through this kind of hardship, this kind of suffering. He must not know. He must be ignoring me. That was Israel's weakness. That was how they stumbled. It's how we stumble still. We focus upon the situation in our lives and we forget the faithfulness of God. And we walk by sight rather than by faith. Well, out of that situation comes this wonderful promise. This wonderful promise that those who look to the Lord will be strengthened. They will gain new strength, verse 31 says. And the idea is that we must not look to ourselves or even to the circumstances in which we find ourselves, but rather we look to the Lord, and then the promise is that as we do that, he will answer those prayers. He will make it known that he does see the situation in which we find ourselves, and he will indeed strengthen us. Look to the everlasting God. Look to the creator of the heavens and the earth. After they had expressed their weakness by saying, my way is hidden from the Lord, God answers them. Look at verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? We've seen this before. These same questions are asked several times in this chapter. And the Lord is seeking, by asking these questions, to bring them back to these simple truths that they know, but they've forgotten. It's the same thing to us, right? How long have you been a believer? There are certain things about God that you know. If we were to sit you down at a desk and give you a very basic test on who God is and what He's like, you'd get the right answers. You know these things intellectually, but when the trials come, when the struggles come, when the hardships come, we forget that what we know in our mind is actually a reality in the universe. And so God reminds the people, do you not know? Have you not heard? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is intended to be, of course you have. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Have you forgotten who I am? He says. I am the everlasting one. My care and concern for you has not changed. I am the everlasting one who continues to have an everlasting love for his people. And I will not leave you, and I will not abandon you. Have you forgotten that I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth? And if I am strong enough to be able to create all things, then certainly I'm strong enough to be able to help you in your weakness. And if I have created the earth from one end to the other, and everything in between, surely I can care for my people. This is a God who never becomes weary. He never faints. He never gets tired. So look to Him for strength. He gives power to those who are weary. And to them who have no might in themselves, He increases their strength. That's what the prophet declares in verse 31. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. We are in a spiritual battle. And warfare is tiring. Right? Yeah, sometimes I'll throw on the History Channel or the Military Channel or something like that. And they have these shows every now and then that take you through the process that these military guys have to go through in order to become, you know, Navy SEALs or Green Berets or something. And it's amazing what they have to do. And it's tiring, to put it very, very simply, right? Among other things, this takes a physical toll. Well, you know, all of us, Scripture says, if we are in Christ, we are in a spiritual battle. And it is tiring to be in battle all the time. And that's our condition. There is never a moment when we are not involved in a battle. And it takes its toll. It can be wearying. Battle exhausts us. We need strength, and we need our strength to be renewed. That is to say, we need a new kind of strength. Not a physical strength of youth, not the physical strength of young men. We need the spiritual strength that comes from Jehovah. When God gives us that strength, and here He promises to do just that, when He gives us that strength, then we can mount up with wings as eagles. Just think about that picture. They will mount up with wings as eagles. What a beautiful picture. Think about the eagle that with very little effort, you know, he soars up high into the sky. And he just floats, right? He soars. Sometimes long periods of time, he's just gliding far above the earth. And he's a symbol of strength and power. That's why he was chosen, I assume, right, to be the symbol of our nation. You have the eagle. He's a powerful being. He's graceful. He's strengthened. And that's the picture that God uses of his people whom he strengthens. Our strength is renewed as the eagles. We will mount up with wings like eagles. But if that weren't enough, the text goes on to describe the truth when it says, those who run shall not be weary, they that walk shall not be faint. It teaches that God will strengthen us so that in our running and in our walking, we will not grow weary. Now, that's not saying that God's people never grow weary. It's a recognition that they will, but that there is a resource for us when we do. That if we will look to Him, He will renew our faith. He will renew our strength. He will renew our confidence in Him. I don't know, some of us are probably too old to be playing video games, but, even when I was younger and we played the old video games, there would be these times when you would get to a certain point in the game and your energy as the character in the game would be depleted. And you'd need to, get a med pack or something and get your energy back up so you can continue the game, or you're dead and that's it. Right? It's kind of like that. We are going through this spiritual battle and the weariness comes, our energy gets depleted, but there is always a source of renewal. God is always willing to strengthen us again. I want you to notice something else here as well. Did you notice, as we read through verse 31, that things seem to be a little bit backwards? Typically, writers or speakers work from the lesser to the greater. They want to build to a great crescendo at the end of what they're trying to communicate. But that's not what happens here. One might think that Isaiah would start by talking about walking and then move on to talk about running and then conclude with this great crescendo of taking up the wings of eagles and flying. That's not what he does. He doesn't build to a crescendo. He starts with the greater and he moves to the lesser. Why would he do that? Let me suggest an answer. Obviously, Isaiah has something more than rhetorical style in mind as he's communicating to us the word of God here. I think that what we have in this last portion of verse 31 is a description of the Christian life. No one soars like an eagle all the time. It's a rarity. We talk about mountaintop experiences, and they're great when they happen, but they don't happen all that often. That's why we speak of them as mountaintop experiences. You don't live on the mountaintop, right? You're there every once in a while, and you have this great sense of the presence of God and some great move of God within us to move us along spiritually. But they're few and far between. Those times when we need to soar like an eagle don't come very often. We run more than we soar. And there are times when we need to be strengthened for those events in our lives that call for more than our usual strength. There are trials that come to us and they last a while. We need to be strengthened so that we can run, so that we can continue on, so that we can meet those challenges. We're going to need to run without getting tired. But even more than running, we need to be strengthened to just keep walking. Just the normal day-to-day trudge of the Christian life. We walk. We walk. We walk. It's what we do all the time. It's the normal pace of our spiritual lives. But we can grow weary just from walking. And God strengthens us so that we can continue to walk. You see what Isaiah is doing. He is, in a sense, building to a crescendo, but in an unusual way. He begins with the less common experience, and he moves to the more common experience. And he wants us to know that God will supply the strength that we need, no matter what the situation may be. If we need to soar like an eagle, He will provide for that. If we need to be able to run without getting tired, He will provide for that. And He will provide the strength we need to get through day by day by day, the normal course of the Christian life as we walk. He will provide what we need so that we do not become weary. Now, there's one more thing we must see here. Who are the recipients of this strength? Is it all men in general? The text says no. The text is very specific. It says, they that wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Not all men, only those who wait for the Lord. To wait has this idea of looking forward. There's an expectancy attached to this. It's desiring that the Lord would indeed send strength. I'm weak. I need to be strengthened. And I am going to look expectantly for that time when the Lord will renew my strength. And I'm going to do so confidently because I trust in Him. Because He has promised to renew my strength. And I believe that He keeps His promises. More than just waiting for something from Jehovah, the text is also teaching that we wait for God Himself. We want to have Him help us. We want Him to hold us by our right hand, as the psalmist says in Psalm 73. We want Him to lead us all our lives and eventually to glory. Those who wait for Jehovah, they are the ones who are renewed in strength. You see, He doesn't just give us strength. He gives us Himself. He is our strength. And He causes us to rest in Him and to trust in Him. And after God gave the Israelites that wonderful victory in Exodus 15, you remember, Israel sang this song. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider He has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will extol Him. To wait for the Lord for strength implies that we recognize something. We recognize that we have no more resources of our own. The strength is not within us. It comes from outside of us. And that source is in Him alone. Really, that's the story of every child of God, isn't it? We recognize our misery outside of Christ. And God comes to us with the gospel. He teaches us about our sin and our misery and our weakness and our inability to do anything on our own that would move us toward salvation. He teaches us about the punishment that is due us due to our sin. But then He shows us Christ. Then He shows us deliverance. Then He shows us strength. That's what the gospel is. Those then who wait upon Jehovah are those who are convinced of their need. They see their own weakness and they wait. They wait for the promise to be fulfilled. They wait for God to bring the strength that is necessary. The promise is that He will. This is the promise that God gives to every single one of His people. It's not just a general truth. It's not just something that's meant for us to be impressed by the beauty of the poetry and the language, you know, mounting up as wings of eagles, thinking of this wonderful picture. It is the truth of Jehovah's promise for you who are one of His people. He will renew your strength. It's very personal. He's not just speaking about the nation as a whole. He's not speaking about the church as a corporate body alone, although that's part of it. He's speaking about you as an individual child of God. He is your resource. The text doesn't say they that wait upon the Lord may have their strength renewed. It says you will gain new strength. That's a promise. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. I hope that's a comfort to you this morning. In the midst of life's difficulties, the child of God struggles with sin, struggles with the difficulties of this life, but has the encouragement and the resource of God that comes through the promise of His Word. And yet, because we are weak, how often do we fail to believe the promise? How often do we fail to wait upon Him? He wants us to see our weakness. He wants us to acknowledge that and to depend upon Him, to come to Him, to look for Him for our strength. The Apostle Paul waited upon the Lord. He had a thorn in his flesh. Terrible thorn in the flesh. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly what that thorn was, but he records for us that he prayed to the Lord that it might be removed from him. And he did this 3 times, and the Lord never removed it. God answered that prayer not by removing whatever the thorn was. Sometimes when we face difficulties, God doesn't necessarily remove the difficulty from us, but he gives us strength to endure it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. This is God's answer to Paul. He has said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in your weakness." My strength is made manifest, is the idea. I am glorified in your weakness as you continue to endure it, but testify of my sustaining grace in the midst of it. And Paul's response to God's word is this: "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses and persecutions and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Doesn't always take the difficulty away. Doesn't always remove the thorns. But he does grant us his grace. He strengthens us to endure and to continue to walk and to run and sometimes even to soar. Go to him with the burden of your sins. Go to him, cast the burden of your guilt upon Christ. He has paid the price for it. And then wait upon him for strength. And all those who wait upon him, all those who renounce their own strength, will surely be given new strength. That is the promise of God to his people. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the encouragement from your word today. We thank you, Father, that you are the strength giver. We pray, Father, that you would cause us to be people who readily admit our own weaknesses. Some of us find it hard to do so. The tendency for some, Father, is to keep pushing through, seeking to do it on our own. But Father, if we want to experience your strength, we must first admit to you and to ourselves that we have no strength in ourselves. We are weak. We are frail. We are fallen. Strengthen your people, Father, that we might testify to your goodness and to your grace and to your sustaining power, that even in the midst of our difficulty, we might give you praise and honor, that you might be glorified in our weakness. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.